think, well, that's garage.
Hello, Pinkies. This is the Laughing Buddha, the co-host emeritus of this live Pink Wheelnuts Garage. And rounding the corner is Mr. Night Shift, Mr. Arugula Hunter himself, the Fey Driver.
Let me yawn, give a big yawn. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Pink Wheelnuts Garage.
Hello.
Thank you, Laughing Buddha.
You're welcome.
You are tracking, you are stalking me appropriately.
Well, and, I do like to be topical, you see.
Right. Yes, it has been actually a mostly delightful couple of night shifts this last week. I mean, this most recent two nights, but last week was a rough one.
Well, I'm glad you're getting your beauty rest and things are turning around for you.
Yes, the wart on my nose is reducing back to its almost invisible state. So
excellent.
I guess we should introduce our guests tonight. We have joining us from the dark or on the DF. It is Ranger John. Hello, John.
Hey, Faye. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. Are you experiencing a happy Friday afternoon?
More or less, I was a little dizzy earlier, and so that bothered me a little bit, but that's getting better. And I didn't go to work today, so I was able to go out driving around and do all kinds of errands.
I was out driving around as well, but not necessarily doing errands. Let's introduce our other friend who's joining us tonight. That's Eric Boo. Good day, Eric. How are you today?
It was a very good day, and I'm so glad to be here. So, yes, I had a busy day at work, and now I'm relaxing and enjoying a tasty beverage and looking forward to some thrilling conversation.
Very good. It's just the four of us, I guess, tonight, except for maybe someone who's lurking in the wings, which we'll get...
Ooh, that could be.
We'll get to a little later. Speaking of beverages, I have to tell you, I was extremely displeased. I've been busy this afternoon. I was out driving around, and I've been delayed in starting my beverage drinking tonight. But I started drinking lemon drop martinis, which is like gin and vodka, and then some lemon juice, like limeade. And I was very displeased with my garnish, so I took quite a bit of time to prepare and create some grapefruit wedges, which I peeled out of their little thick skins. And you know you have to devein them, too, like you would devein a shrimp, right?
Yeah, but you're deveining a shrimp to get rid of those little pooper shoot lines.
That
necessarily. Right.
But in order to really enjoy my grapefruit, I felt it was necessary to devein or take that really thick, spiny string out of the grapefruit so that I could enjoy my little grapefruit wedges in my lemon drop. So that's what I'm having to drink tonight. Eric, you mentioned a beverage. What are you having?
I have started just moments ago enjoying a beer that made Milwaukee famous.
Oh,
the hipster's delight and long-standing drunks have all said Pabst Blue Ribbon, and I one last can that I'm enjoying. And tonight we're going over to our friends Abby and Melinda, and she's got more beer waiting for us.
Oh my goodness, that's terrific!
Lesbian barbecue beer, gotta have to love it.
Oh, nice. That sounds great.
Now you're having lesbians. I mean, they're barbecue.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Make sure. They're creating the barbecue. They're not on the barbecue.
Just want to clear that up.
So you must have lovely weather then if you're having barbecue weather.
Today it got up to 71 and it had been sunshiny and just gorgeous, which is really kind of funny because our dear friend Peter left today.
Yes.
And it's been rainy and pissy Oh, I was here.
Oh, no.
Sun shines. So I don't know if that's...
Yes, apparently Peter, we're talking about that Peter G, who is now trapped once again on an airplane making his way from, I guess, Denver to San Francisco. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ranger John, are you having a beverage tonight or are you just having a nice dizzy time by yourself?
Well, I'm having a big mug of Darjeeling tea.
Oh.
Because I thought that maybe if I had my usual Manhattan or martini that it might not go very well with the dizzy, with the dizziness.
Right.
I have a question. In the chat room, I'm in the chat room, but I don't have a name.
Oh, yes. Here's what you want to do.
It says type slash Nick.
Mm-hmm. So that's the forward slash on the question mark key?
Yeah, I did that.
And then Nick, N-I-C-K, space.
I did that.
And then a fancy name.
Yeah.
Hit enter.
Nothing happens. It just erases.
Erases.
Well, just nothing happens. Type goes away, and then there's nothing there.
So, which MIB are you? 0SGG5C or GAA0DF?
I have no fucking idea.
Well, one of those MIBs is going to be Ranger John, folks. So, everybody, make note of that. Laughing Buddha, what are you having to drink tonight?
Tonight, since it is sunny here and my thoughts are towards warmer weather, I have your very utilitarian gin and tonic with two limes.
Oh, that's very nice. Every once in a while, you have to have just a lovely little throwback to the original gin and tonic, right?
That's right. It kind of resets everything and it's a good thing to have for summer.
Well, we are live on Pride 48, and I see quite a few people joining us in the chat room, and I see RT Cruiser is here. I'm going to, Laughing Buddha, if you want to tell us who's joining us from the Pride 48 chat room, I'm going to try to add RT Cruiser into our conversation here.
And, okay. So I'll let lurking in the wings is the executive producer and media mogul Brenda Boo. Daniel NC has joined us. We've got a couple MIBs in the room. RT Cruiser and Sater 69 is joining us this evening. Hey, Sater, it's good that you're here. And I think that's Scotty, the little Aussie battler, who has been on perpetual holiday for the last, 10 days or so. So thanks.
Always holiday. I'm so jealous.
Those Australians, they're not really known for hard working or productivity. They are a former penal colony, remember.
Yeah, send all comments to the Scooter
Diaries.
Someone who can defend that country has joined us, RT. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
RT.
I'm very well, and I would say that's a fair assessment because we've had two long weekends in a row.
Oh, yes. Right, and you had a very nice long weekend with Anzac Day, I guess, right?
Yes.
Are you still in it?
Well, Anzac Day is only officially a half-day holiday, but it's mainly only the shops that
Scotty Aussie Battler seems to be having a four-day holiday. How does he turn a half-day into 4 days off?
Well, no one actually goes back to work except for the shops opening.
I see.
Ignorant American here. What was that holiday?
Anzac Day. It'd be like your Memorial Day.
Oh, okay. No longer ignorant.
Yeah, but we get a 4 day weekend for Easter.
Oh,
it's been
I made that into a 5 day weekend.
Now, it's been a really long time, RT, since we've had you here
been.
On. Well, it's been a long time since the Pink Wheel and Garage was on the air, but my goodness, it's been months since you've joined us here. So sure is great to have you back.
Thank you.
And you've been off on little retreats, we heard, on some other Pokenet shows, and I don't know, it sounds like you've been having a gay old time in Australia.
I was having a gay old time. Not so much this weekend. We had a big storm come through yesterday, and I'm actually in the process of drying my garage out where it had about an inch of water through it.
Yeah, I think Laughing Buddha was indicating that you had a little bit of a disaster. I'm sorry, I wasn't aware. What happened?
Just the rain gutters just couldn't cope with the water, so it just went all under the garage door and down to the back of the garage. So I got the wet vac out, and I vacuumed up probably about 40 litres of water.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I'm hoping for a couple of dry days and fine days so I can open it all up and get it all aired out.
So no cars were harmed in the water intrusion?
No, most things are up off the ground. So there's only a bookcase that I think I'll probably have to throw away because it's all soaked.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my neighbor, this is something that speaking of night shift workers, Laughing Buddha, my neighbor is having his roof done. So there's roofers at the house right beside me, and they've been...
The one beside you or the one behind you?
No, my neighbor immediately to my, what it would be?
You're facing the street.
Facing the street, it's to the left.
Oh, okay.
The pleasant...
If it had been one that was behind you, you'd have never gotten off your deck watching him roof it.
No, Oscar. Yeah, no, Oscar hasn't been around. He hasn't been out walking around in his yard in his shorts. So, but since the roofers are next door, there's about four or five very skinny Asian fellows pounding away on the roof of my neighbor's house. So... It has almost been worth the pounding and the crashing and the banging.
Are they using the pneumatic compressor nail guns?
So far, no. They're still in the process of ripping the old shingles off the roof.
Okay.
Yeah.
And throwing them into the bin, you know, which is the big steel bin. So,
are they glistening with sweat as they do this?
Well, no, because it's, Eric said he had 71 degrees. We've only got about 58 degrees Fahrenheit here in Canada, so.
Were your binoculars clean at the time? Can you verify?
I happen to know that the cutest Asian fellow has his belt hitched to the fourth notch, so.
Oh, that's awareness and paying attention. Good for
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, right. So,
that helps. Process takes about 2 days, doesn't it?
Like two or three. But my neighbor is doing, he appears to be putting a steel, like a tin roof on.
Oh yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And you know, but we live in a really rainy area here, and I don't know that if rain is going to be falling on his tin roof for the next 9 months, I don't know how much I'm going to appreciate that.
It depends on the kind of material you're using. Is it true tin or is it steel? And are they putting a lot of times they put an underlayment underneath that, kind of like a felt paper to act as a sound dampener.
Yeah.
Well, my immediate response would be that my neighbor seems pretty cheap. So, and I have not seen a nice felty looking underlay. It looks like just plain old 2 mil or 3 mil plastic. Oh. So I don't know. I'm a little dubious.
And when you talk about the rain on the tin roof, it reminded me of the story of Chopin, who was dying of tuberculosis, of course, was in this house on Mallorca, and it was raining and they had a tin roof, and so this inspired him to write the Raindrop Prelude.
Oh. Mm. Speaking of the Raindrop Prelude, you should play that on your next show, Ranger John.
Oh, okay. Maybe I will.
I really enjoy the music on your show, and you guys, you and Daniel, had a fantastic discussion on your last episode of On the DF. I really enjoyed your good discussion. You were talking about... What was it you were talking about? Was it people being offended, maybe? And
that
risk
was probably
taking?
Risk taking, yeah. Mm-hmm. Risk taking, yeah.
That was a very interesting discussion.
I enjoyed that.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay, so actually, Ranger John has a topic for us, which we're going to bring up to a little later on in the show here. But we have a few topics to get to, so let's get right into it. Since this is the Pink Wheelnuts Garage show, and it's all about me, I'm going to talk about my own petty problems here tonight, because I have several. So we're going to get right into it here. Now, this is going to be a lengthy... I'm going to tell you an extremely long story, long and boring story. So if you'll indulge me, here we go. Now, for those of you who've met me in person, you might know or might have figured out that I'm a little bit persnickety. I bet you Brenda Boo is back there just chewing her tongue into bits.
Never heard that before.
Maybe we should bring Brenda Boo into this. Brenda Boo, do you have a microphone in front of you? Do you want to join us here?
And here we go.
Hello.
Hi, Brenda Boo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Quite well, thank you. You know, I don't know. We haven't heard much out of that Peter G since the two of you went to the grotto. Did you murder him and leave him in the ditch there or what?
We didn't end up at the grotto. We ended up going to La Crosse to visit Mark instead. Uh-huh. But I did kill him. Yeah, you're right to think that. He is dead.
And you've taken over his Twitter feed, right? So you're tweeting out strategic messages every 30 minutes or so?
Yes.
So that it looks like he's still alive?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do about his husband, though. That's going to be trickier. But I'm... I drugged him. Right. We fed him meals.
Well, we'll wait to hear from... wait to hear from him in person. I guess we'll have to wait a week or two to hear him on Lotzel again, so... See if he's really alive.
Maybe.
I think Laughing Buddha knows what his current status is. Laughing Buddha... Where is he in Earth space and time? Do you know?
The last I saw that he may be delayed in Denver.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm tweeting out that he's actually on a plane. So.
Oh, all right.
All right. Well, he's well on his way back to home. It was really nice to hear you guys on Hello Again, It's Brenda Boo, chatting about things.
Fighting about things.
Okay, well, let's get to the show. So, all right, persnickety Faye Driver here. You know how I like to have everything just tickety-boo, right? So I got it into my head that I would take my delightful BMW 700 series into the BMW shop, because there's a couple of things that just aren't quite right about that car, and I really wanted everything to be working just perfectly and just so, right? So currently my problem is that there's this automatic trunk opener. You can hit a button and the trunk lifts up and opens up very nicely. And when you're done farting around inside the truck, you can press a button and the trunk closes magically. Click, you know. And
so it doesn't just pop open, it just opens sort of slowly?
Yeah, like, I don't know, like it pneumatically opens and rises up to its fully open position, and you
this
don't.
This is fine German engineering.
It's very impressive.
Absolutely. So we shouldn't have to lift a finger, right? Because that would be just too much for the diva, Faye Driver, the diva. But I've been experiencing some problems with it, so that when you hit the close button, it actually hasn't closed. So I've actually had to manually pull the trunk lid down.
Oh my God.
And latch it closed. And I'm telling you, my arms and my wrists just can't handle this. So I thought, well, you know what? I know what it is. There's a little module in there that's gone wonky, a little computer chip about the size of a package of cigarettes. And all they really need to do is probably replace that package of cigarette module thing, and the trunk should close properly. So I took it into BMW and said, please investigate this. Tell me how much it is to fix it, to replace it's called an HKL module. And And I thought, great, we'll get it done, and then I will be, once again, I will be happy and free of having to do the labor of closing my trunk manually. All right, so I get, you know, the car goes in for a couple of days. You probably heard me driving around in the
Dodge
Avenger. And Ranger John, did you say that you thought maybe Daniel had a Dodge Avenger for a rental car or something?
I think so, but I might be confusing it with that. What's that sort of small SUV Dodge? It's not. Is that Avenger?
Oh, yeah.
Or
the,
is that
Journey?
Something that, no.
Dodge Journey? Oh, the I know what it is.
Caliber, yeah. No, Caliber. Yeah, that's what we had. We had a Caliber, yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the Caliber with, you know, just a little lower. So anyway, a lovely car to drive. You heard my review of that car. I didn't mind it. Anyway, so a couple of days go by, and I go back to pick up my BMW. They give me the the result of their investigation, and not only did they find that the trunk lid closing module wasn't working, they found a couple of other things wrong with the car, which they indicated to me, if I wanted everything fixed, brought back up to tickety-boo, it would be just the minor sum of $5,000.
Well, what could be wrong with this car, Faye? You went in for the trunk, and they're telling you you have to replace, what, another major system?
Yeah, okay, so the trunk close button module was about $800 to fix, and that was, you know,
chump change.
Like a $600 part and, you know, whatever, $200 labor. But they also identified some other minor things. The transmission is leaking a tiny wee bit, and that was maybe $800, $900 to fix to drop the pan from the transmission and put a new gasket on and put in a seal. And so $900 for that. And then
how old is this car?
It's 2005, so nine or ten years old. Then what else was there? Oh, they wanted to do the ball joints, which I'm suspicious of the ball joints. I don't deny that any of their recommendations are incorrect. I'm sure this work could be done, and I verified this myself later on, which we're going to talk about in a minute. So ball joints were $800 for ball joints. And then the root of the problem for why the trunk doesn't close is this module, this another computer box called the power module, which controls and manages all of the electricity and power distribution of the car. And this one was like $1,500 or $1,600 to repair. And that part, according to BMW, is like $800, $900, and then whatever the labor is to do that. So, so $5,000 to fix everything to make it exactly perfect. Now, the car does work. It works fine. There's a couple of little problems, like the doors don't open if the car falls asleep on me and I have to do a little magic dance to get the doors to unlock magically, like they magically do. And there's a couple of little things. So I do know that there are some certain little issues with the car. So, and the fact that this trunk doesn't open. But I must say, I'm not willing to pay BMW $5,000 so that I can open my trunk or close my trunk by pressing a button. So I did some investigation, and I know you're all going to be very excited about this. There's this computer program. You see, you can't just buy the part. So I sourced the parts for the power module, which is the power distribution computer, and the trunk button computer, the HKL module. And I can get those parts all together for about $800. Now, that's still expensive, but it's not $2,000, right?
Right.
The problem is with these frickin' BMWs, is you can't just buy the modules and, you know, unscrew the dead one and plug the new one in, because the car needs to be programmed and told that this new gizmo has been put into the car, and everything, all the other 15 other computers that attach
to the car need to be told that there's a new power module and there's a new trunk button controller module, yucca, yucca, yucca. So this is how they get you. You know, is the you have to take your vehicle to BMW so that they can program the new gizmo to, and tell the car that here's a new part. Everybody get along now, and when the dude presses the trunk button, you know, this is the box and you know, blah blah blah, right? So here's what I've done, folks. Now I'm not sure of the wisdom of this, but here's what I've done. You can buy the software that BMW uses from a perfectly reputable source on the internet.
Sure. BitTorrent, right?
Exactly. And you can, you know, install it on a computer and get a certain cable that you plug into the BMW. You plug that cable into your computer and then the software, you launch it and it talks to the car and you can tell the car, hey, we have a new trunk button box and we have a new power module box, and BMW doesn't get to charge me whatever it was, $1,200 or $1,600 to press a couple of buttons to program some modules. So I've gone ahead and I've done it. I've ordered this software. I've ordered a cable, and in the next, whatever, 6 to 8 weeks.
You know, how are your German language skills, Faye?
Well, you know, that's a good point. I know a little bit of German. I know Schnell.
There's a couple that I recommend that you commit to memory. Uh-huh. If Achtung flashes up on the screen, I want you to pause.
Okay, yes.
Or if it says Vorsicht.
Oh, Vorsicht.
Which means danger.
Oh, okay.
You probably want to bring it to the shop.
Well, go ahead.
I mean, playing devil's advocate here, I mean, what is the worst that could happen?
Right.
You blow up all your computer.
It doesn't work and you have to
yeah.
You have so to rather get than being oh. out $5,000, you'll be out $5,800.
Right.
Okay, just so we're clear.
Now, what about some of the other things? I mean, do you have to pull the engine to drop the pan? Can you have access to the ball joints on your own? I mean, are these repairs that you feel comfortable doing yourself?
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. I service my car at two locations. I have my very friendly German mechanic, Otto, who is just down the street from me, and he's very good. He services these BMWs all the time, and he does just German imports is all he does, Audis, BMWs, and Porsches, right? So I've taken my car to him, my BMW to him, on several occasions. He does all my oil changes and all the mechanical-related stuff. And I've asked him on several occasions, can you program this? If I got you a new trunk button box, could you put it in and program it? And he says, no, I'm not able to do that. So that's why sometimes I take the car to BMW. And I did that. I took it to BMW so that they could scan it and plug their computer into it and do all the diagnostic. And they've very generously, to their own detriment, told me exactly what's wrong with the car. So I want to take a risk. I can't bring myself to pay BMW, you know, $22,000 for the labor end of it when they just have a technician, you know, press a few buttons on the computer. And I know that Otto can do the mechanical type stuff like changing the pan on the transmission. And to answer your question, whose question was it? About your Eric. I was crawling around underneath the car a couple of weeks ago, just verifying where this leak was and you know, the pan gasket leak and there's a seal,
seal, which is on the back of the transmission, where the drive shaft enters the transmission, there's an oil seal, and it is leaking. So, yes, there is a very minor leak. It's by no means urgent or a problem, and I'm not even the least bit worried about it. And
it's too crazy, though, doesn't it?
It drives me crazy, sure, but you know what? I don't see it. There's no drops on the garage floor, so it's not an issue. So I'm not worried about that at all. They're just trying to BMW was just trying to get another $1,000 out of me, right? And the ball joints, I can confirm. I have some concerns about the ball joints because I hear a bit of thunking and clunking. But I know that Otto can do the ball joints for much cheaper than the $800 or whatever it was that BMW charged or quoted. And I know that I can get the ball joint parts from my BMW German parts supplier. So I can get the parts much cheaper and get Buddy to do it, Otto to do it for me. And I've always wanted this software because there's many things about this car that I would like to poke around in and change. And I was
going to ask that, Faye. Does it allow you to reprogram the performance to get a bit more horsepower out of it?
Well, I'm not at that stage in my knowledge or education about the car to know whether or not that's an option. But I know, you know, this is a ridiculously electronified car. It's crazy, the number of computers and options and adjustments you can make to it. And I've always kicked myself because, oh, if I could just get into the system and change this and make this happen and, you know, adjust this option, it's something I've always wanted to do. So I recognize that there's a huge risk in some idiot like myself poking around in the programming language of the car, changing things, but it's a risk I'm willing to take, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you'll keep us posted.
I will. I'm very excited to receive my new gizmos and gadgets to fart around with things. And I do. So now, I'd like to continue my discussion about crawling around underneath the car. You should see this BMW underneath. I've never been underneath this car. What a magnificent bunch of engineering is going on the underside of this car. You can't see the drive shaft. It's completely enclosed behind heat shields. And there's a whole bunch of heat shields on the underside of the car and felt. There's felt and sound attenuating material between the heat shields and the bottom of the car. It's remarkable how much detail has gone into this car to make it quiet. And I'm really amazed at what they've done just on the underside of this car to deal with things like road noise and stuff like that. It's quite remarkable.
I'd like to have some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I've been having quite a bit of fun. I've dug out my ramps. You know, I have these ramps that you can drive your car up on to do oil changes and things. And I finally dug them out this spring and put the BMW up on the ramps to investigate whether or not I should believe BMW's assessment of my transmission leaks and stuff. So it was really interesting crawling around underneath this car.
Scotty had a question in the chat room. He's curious if that was Princess's last view.
Scotty, old wounds. Did you get your dog yet, Scotty? Maybe you can let us know in the chat room. Does anybody have any questions about computers, electronics, and BMW sound attenuation?
I'm curious, you know, all these little computers and stuff. I mean, you know, what operating system are they using? You know, is this like DOS commands or what are we talking about here?
Well, I'm sure it's all in German, actually. It's a system that I think they called INPA, I-N-P-A, and I don't know what those did those letters stand for, but it's a proprietary communication system. There is some standardization, though, with all cars. Any car that was manufactured after 1990, I think, uses a closed area network, is CAN, and it's sort of a standardized communication of, you know, module to module inside the car. But you know, these ultra expensive luxury cars like the BMW 7 Series, they are the precursors to things like the cars that people are buying now, like the Ford Fusion, which you can buy for about $30,000, which has all this electronified gizmo on it, like backup cameras and park distance control and automatic parallel parking.
Yeah, I have a friend who just bought a Ford Taurus that parallel parks itself.
Yeah. So, you know, these, although the cars are getting smaller and technology is getting cheaper, I mean, they're putting all of this electronified gizmo googa in these cars as well. And I'm curious to see when a 2014 Ford Fusion becomes 8 years old, are they going to be having the same sort of computer failures that my, you know, my trunk lid button is having? And I wonder how much it costs to fix a parallel parking module on a Ford Fusion.
My 1994 Chevy S10 pickup parallel parked, and the back latch works just fine.
Faye, I have a question about something you said about the Avenger.
Yes.
You said that you don't like the auto lock feature. That really bugs you. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh man, this drives me crazy. So on these newer cars, when you put it into drive and you start driving, and once the car gets over 10 or 15 miles an hour, the doors, the automatic locking doors engage, and ka-chunk goes the door locks and all the doors lock. And I just find this really disconcerting. It ticks me off because
I have a Buick that has that same feature, but it engages when I put it in to reverse, or if I put it into drive.
Right.
I don't have to be a certain mile per hour before it engages. I actually kind of, I like that feature.
Me too. It's kind of like secure. Yeah, it makes you feel secure.
Oh my goodness. Say that again, RT, you got broken off. Say again.
Oh, so my car does that. I don't mind it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, it's like...
My Fiat does it too, Faye, but I can turn it off.
Uh-huh, yes. My Crossfire did it as well, and that's the first thing I disengaged was that.
My pickup truck, you use your finger. You push this little lever down. My windows, there's this crank right next to my knee. It's fabulous.
Well, but it's like Big Brother looking after you. I don't like it at all. And then... It's when you stop, you can't get the door open. You got to pull the knob twice, once to unlock it and once to get the door open.
Oh, no, well, that's stupid. Mine just unlocks when you go to open the door.
Yeah, mine too.
Mine too.
Fei-Fei, maybe you could get a special screwdriver that could disengage this.
Brenda, don't be telling secrets on this show about what might happen in my car.
I say nothing. What? That was just an idea. I don't know.
Brenda is making reference to the fact that I may or may not, this could be hypothetical, but some people don't like to wear seatbelts all the time, but you can't drive your car if you're not wearing your seatbelt because you get the dinger. Please put on your seatbelt. Ding, ding, ding. And some people might have a special screwdriver to activate the seatbelt latch. I'm not saying that's what I would do, but
I'll be.
See, if a fella had that in mind, he could do it.
Yes, absolutely. I can give you the exact screwdriver brand, number, and model if you are interested.
So this disconcerting feeling, is it more in the line of a Christine moment, Or is it more like Maximum Overdrive, the machines are taking over?
Yes, Maximum Overdrive, the machines are taking over. I understand the thinking behind it is that you're safer in your car if you have an accident if the doors are locked. The doors are less likely to open and fling you out of the car if you have some sort of horrendous rollover or something like that. And then all of these new cars are programmed to when you incur an accident, the doors automatically unlock and the flashing flasher lights come on, and you know, some cars even telephone 911 for you when you have an accident. But this, I don't like giving up that much control. What can I say?
Never.
Saying he's a bit persnickety. Is that what he's saying?
Oh. He doesn't enjoy any kind of, like, okay, can I tell the water bottle story?
Oh, you're going to get...
Sure, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but go ahead.
So we were up there visiting, and I had a water bottle that was not factory sealed. I had opened it and drank out of it, and then I stuck it in the trunk. I had the intention of leaving it in the trunk to roll around and fluids flying around. And so we had separated. Me and Mark had gone someplace else, and the boys had come somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, Faye comes walking up to me. Da, 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 da. Here's your water bottle you left in the trunk of the car.
You can't have things thumping around in the trunk. Everything needs to be strapped down and secure.
I had intentions of leaving it there. I was going to read.
So what he's saying is everything outside of the driver needs to be strapped in. Special screwdriver.
There was gag. There was like ball gags attached to all the heads.
Shall I shut off her microphone?
No.
No. She said it. She'll have to take responsibility for it.
Sorry.
Hey, guys, I want to just congratulate out, I don't know, maybe we're not allowed to say, does anybody else know what happened for Haunt Cub this week? This might be a secret.
Well, he
bought a new car.
Right? Okay, so it's not a secret.
No, he posted it on Twitter, I think, with
okay,
a picture.
Good. I just want to congratulate him because Haunt Cub bought a Hyundai Veloster Turbo this week, or last week, or a few days ago, so... Congratulations to him. I invited him to the show tonight, but he had a previous engagement. So when we have a future episode of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, I'm hoping to have Haunt Cub on to tell us all about his Hyundai Veloster Turbo. So we're all very happy for you, Haunt Cub. Congratulations. All right, well, let's move over to Ranger John. Ranger John has had quite a bit going on for him in the way of car incidents. Ranger John, do you want to... tell us what happened to you and Daniel.
Sure. Before I tell that story, can I talk about the Canadian money?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just very briefly. So today I took all the this huge bag of coins to the bank and put them in the machine that, you know, counts them and gives you a slip and you get money for them. Mm-hmm. And it rejects all the Canadian coins. Oh, so yeah. I have this small stack of Canadian coins, and the one that interests me is a $2 coin.
Oh, yes.
And it's really kind of beautiful. I mean, it's two colors. It's sort of copper on the inside and silver on the outside, and it has the queen on one side, and it has a polar bear on the other side.
Mm-hmm. And we call it the Toonie.
That's right. The Toonie.
The Toonie. Ah, interesting.
Yeah. Brenda and Laughing Buddha can tell you about it, you guys.
That's right. And the dollar coin is called a loony because it has a loon on it.
Ah, no kidding. That's good to know.
I have one. I was there too.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Eric.
Yes, Eric, you slept in the car there.
I exist.
Brenda, did you want to say something about the loony and the toonie?
I carry around one of those in my... I have a small arsenal of good luck charms. So like,
you mean like a bookshelf?
No.
No, she just has a portable unit, too.
Just in my
filled
purse.
Filled with ninjas and loonies and toonies.
Does
By the way, did she tell you that when we got done completing our bathroom renovation, one of the One of the added features was that she put in two ninjas inside the wall so that they could protect.
Oh, yeah. No, we saw that on Twitter. Absolutely. That was a neat, lot of nice little cubby holes in your bathroom, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to cover that one up, though, where the ninjas went in? You didn't want to put another cubby hole or a medicine chest there or something?
The medicine cabinet's there.
Oh, I see. That was the hole for the medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Yes. We're all very impressed by your bathroom, you guys. It looks really fantastic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It was Brenda's inspiration and idea and her painting, and I did the heavy lifting.
Right. Getting back to the toonie, you know, Ranger John, when Canada went to the dollar coin, there was a huge amount of resistance because all of the vending machines had to be changed from accepting the dollar bill to the dollar coin. And
so there is no dollar bill anymore.
No, right? We have no single, we have no $1 or $2 bill anymore.
Uh-huh.
And if you get one, people really tend to hang on to them because they're quite rare now, right?
Well, they're made of paper, too. This new money's plastic. I didn't figure that out.
Yeah, yeah, right. Our new polymer cash that we're getting now, which is a bit weird, if you ask me.
No, you get used to it.
Yeah. It doesn't fold, though. You can't fold it properly.
No, we had to learn how to recount money when I was in the bank.
Why, because it was so slippery?
Well, no. Well, there was that, but also we used to fold the money and put it into bundles, and then we had to learn how to keep it flat and put it into flats. Oh. It was all very strange.
Mm-hmm. How long have you had polymer cash?
Must be nearly 25, nearly 30 years.
Yeah.
88, I think they brought it in, the first ones.
Yeah, I remember... Everyone was very opposed to having this new dollar coin. Oh, your coin in your pockets are going to be so heavy. And then about five years after we got the loonie, the $1 coin, we got the $2 coin, the toonie, and there was it rose again. Oh, I mean, this one's even heavier than the loonie. But now we're so used to it, nobody bats an eye anymore.
Yeah, well, we got rid of our 1 and 2 cent pieces, and now they're trying to get rid of the five, I think.
The five, the nickel. The 5 cent piece.
The 5 cent piece.
We call that a nickel over here in North America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, really, everything you'd round up to 10 cents?
Yeah, well, it's rounded to five at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here too in Canada, we lost our penny a couple of years ago. And I don't like it.
Oh, no, going to America, I used to collect so much change when I was over there. And all these pennies, no wonder they have squash penny machines to get rid of the bloody things.
Well, Faye Driver likes pinching pennies. So when he can't find any pennies to pinch, it makes him a little cranky.
Mm-hmm.
Faye, what is the uni part of the loony and the toony mean? Like, I get
the Uno. One?
No. What?
Would it be a Jewy then?
It originated with the $1 coin, which had a loon on it. And a loon is like a lake bird.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And they make
it. Sounds like this.
Right.
Very good.
The loon is like the Canadian national bird, probably. Mm-hmm. So that's why the loon is on the $1 coin.
Maybe. So
the loon is also the Minnesota state bird.
Oh, is it? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We're very proud of our loon here in Canada, I have to tell you. And they're very prevalent here in British Columbia. You can't go anywhere without running over a loon. So,
I saw one before I fell into the ocean.
Right.
So they come here in the winter. But they're gone in the summer.
They're great fishers as well.
Yeah.
So the loon, the dollar coin, since it had this the picture of the loon on the back of it, became known
as colloquially as the loony. And then when we got the $2 coin, because it's a $2 bill.
Got that part. I figured that.
Right. Became a toony.
Good Lord. Okay, I just now, wondered what the oony meant.
I was going to say, now Canada's being sued by Warner Brothers.
They're loony toonies.
Ranger John, let's get to you and Daniel's little adventure you had in your Toyota Matrix.
No, it was in Daniel's Camry.
Oh, Camry, sorry.
Yeah, the Matrix is here in Rockport.
Right. I beg your pardon.
Sure.
You have so many cars and residences that I'll never figure out. People give me a hard time for having a bunch of cars, but you're even more complicated. You have multiple residences and multiple other things in your life. So carry on. Tell us what happened to you and Daniel.
We go to this place, this birding location called Mason Farm, which is in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And it's you have to drive down a dirt road, and then you have to drive over this ford. There's like a, I think that's what you call it. It's like it's a creek, and there's this cement ford, and the water flows over the ford, but never deep enough that you can't drive over it.
Mm-hmm.
So you drive over this ford, and then you have to drive up a hill that is quite steep, and then down a hill.
So really, you're taking your life in your own hands to get to this birding place. You have to go through a river, over a hill, and over Dale.
Yep. And okay, so then when you get down there, there's a parking lot, which is dirt parking lot and grass, and it's surrounded by trees on all sides. And in North Carolina, that we don't have them here, there are these huge vines that grow up the trees. They sort of circle around the trees, and the diameter of the trunk of this of these vines, some of them are really thick. They're as thick as the limb of a tree itself, like maybe 3 or 4 inches in diameter. Right. So there was a big loop of this vine hanging down from the tree, almost touching the ground, sort of like a U. And we were parked facing that loop, and when we finished birding, we're getting ready to go out. Daniel, for some reason, I don't know why, he went forward a little bit, and he didn't notice that the front right bumper hooked onto this vine, and then he backed up and pulled off the front bumper and the grill.
I've just placed a picture of the offended bumper and grill into the chat room.
There it is. I see it. Yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of rough. We had to get home. We had to sort of fix it up, pop it back into shape. And it was a real nightmare. And then, so we went to the estimating center, and they told us that we had to get a new bumper grill, and that they couldn't fix it. So that's when I taped it up with duct tape, taped the grill to the hood so it wouldn't hang down until they can fix it, which is going to happen, I think, next Monday.
Fabulous duct taping job. And in fact, the duct tape is the same color as the car.
That's right.
Very nicely right. done.
So the second part of the story is I went back to Mason Farm by myself a few days later when Daniel was at work. And when I was coming down the hill back to go over the ford again, it sort of scraped, and the whole thing, something underneath, is it like a splash pan or a splash guard or something like that?
Sure, yes.
Which was being held up by the taped bumper, fell down, and I ended up having to drive home with that thing scraping on the ground. And so when I got home, I looked underneath, and I could see that it was just attached by one little rivet or something. And so I just pulled the fucking thing off and put it in the trunk, and we brought it back to the estimating center. And he said, oh, we can reattach that. So, okay, good.
No, that's good. Yeah. That would be the... There's probably a removable splash guard on the underside of the engine, which they would take off to do an oil change and all that.
Uh-huh.
It's just an aerodynamic feature to make the air flow more smooth under the car to get better gas mileage.
Is that the thing that you're that I was talking about? Are you referring to that? Okay.
Yeah, the black splash pan.
Yeah. And there were also two, I didn't see them, but he said we need to get two new ones of those, that like a some sort of vertical splash things that fit in, up inside the fender. Deal?
Yeah. Well, there's probably a splash guard in that that goes inside the fender, the wheel well. So probably the whole front bumper assembly is attached to, is kind of hung not only from the front end of the car, but also connects to the wheel well splash guards that keep water out of the engine bay. So you've probably damaged a little bit of the wheel well splash guards as well.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. That's what the guy said. So guess how much for all of this stuff?
$5,000? Did he, do you happen to have a guy down the street that you put it on? Did you just you're gonna find the equivalent guard online?
Do they have to program the car when they put the splash guard back on to tell it there's a new splash guard?
What are you talking about?
No. Okay, any guesses? So really, you're getting a new bumper because they can't attach the bumper because all of the bumper mounting points have been destroyed. Is that my
understanding? Yeah, and the part of the bumper that sort of wraps around to the side of the car is misshapen too, so that won't...
Okay, so a new front bumper and some wheel well splash guards. Any guesses, anybody?
1,500. I'm going to say 1,800.
I'm going to say 15.
Yeah, uh-huh. I've got about $2,000 with painting and everything.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. I would say $1,000 to $1,200 bucks.
No, you're all overestimating it. Mm. It's $870 bucks.
Wow, that's a good deal.
Is your insurance paying for this, or are you paying for this out of pocket?
No, he's not going to do a claim. I think that we probably end up, you know, paying more if insurance paid for some of it, because the rates would go up and, you know, his premium would go up probably for 7 years, wouldn't it?
Well, I think you should investigate, because if you're a good customer, sometimes you get one free claim. No? Is that not the norm in America?
No,
USA?
I don't think.
Fate. America is built on business, and there is no free lunch, and you're going to pay for it in the end.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the kudzu's attorney calls you up and says, you know what, you strained my vein, and pay the forest.
What, you strained my vein and what?
You're going to have to pay the forest.
Oh, goodness me.
Kudzu. I'm not sure if it's kudzu, but there is a lot of that there.
Okay, well, I'd like to talk about this, because let me tell you what happened to me. I drove a car into a telephone pole and completely wrote it off, and it didn't cost me a thing other than $500 deductible.
Right.
Yeah, I don't understand this.
I think the $500 deductible would apply in Daniel's case too, which means that he'd still have to pay $300. So,
yeah,
right. Yeah, it's not.
Well,
not
I smashed
500. He'd have to pay 500. They would pay 300.
Yeah.
But no, I smashed my back window at 5 days after getting the car, and it cost me nothing.
Yeah, what's the matter with you guys? But then, you know, I recognize I have a long. We here in British Columbia, we only have one insurer. You can get third party insurance for, you know, the extra specified perils and, you know, sort of the optional insurance. But really, we're tied to one insurer. It's a province wide insurance system here, and every driver in British Columbia has to pay this insurer called the Insurance Corporation of British Columbia, and we've all been driving cars for 25 or 30 years. So if you're a good customer and you don't have too many accidents or too many claims, then you get a free claim every once in a while. And so, you know, so you can drive a car into a ditch or off a cliff and walk away and get another one.
That's not a sustainable business model.
Well, sounds like a commie pinko way to insure your vehicle.
This is America.
And if you can't walk away, if you can't walk away from the accident, you could at least get free medical care.
Right. Exactly. We've got a maid here.
Yeah, we've got insurers now that are doing model replacement for the life of the car. So if you write your car off, you'll get a replacement brand new car.
Oh, I have to pay extra for that. Mm. So you don't think, Ranger John, that how long has Daniel been insuring with his insurance provider?
I think I want to say 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, that's not really a very long time. So I can understand why you might not want to make a claim. Can you other Americans verify that? Like Laughing Buddha? Eric, do you agree with that you may not get a freebie from your insurance provider?
Oh, no, there's no such thing as freebies here.
No.
You could opt, since in this particular incident there was not another vehicle involved, you could opt not to report it.
Yeah.
But that could come and bite you in the butt too.
How?
Because if you fail to report it, and you technically had an accident in the state of Iowa, if you have an accident, even if it's by yourself, that exceeds $500, you're required by law to report it. And I don't mean to insurance. I mean to police.
So yeah, I think we have something similar in Minnesota.
What? $500? Wow.
You can't get a flat tire without paying $500 around here.
No, you're required by law to report it. Now, do people not report? Yeah. But say then 3 years later, you get in an accident, and then it comes up that, well, you put this car in a ditch 3 years ago and didn't report it. That comes to bite you in the butt.
I could safely say I've been insured since I was 18 and I'm 50. I've never, ever, ever made a claim, and I bet you anything that wouldn't matter one bit.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of money going in one direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting anything out of it.
Well, the only thing that you get out of that, Brenda, is that your rates don't go up.
Peace of mind.
Yeah. Well, but keep in mind, too, that she's a girl.
I am a girl. Was that a stupid thing?
Well, and Laughing Buddha and John, you can attest for this. We all were young American males that had cars, and our insurance rates, strictly because we were male, doubled.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't actually be, it wouldn't be adjusted until you hit the age of 25.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yep.
I am an excellent driver, it's true.
She's the next one.
We'll ask Peter on the next show.
Mm-hmm. We're going to delve into that, actually. So be careful what you say, Brenda Boo, because I've driven with you. Now Peter G. has driven with you. And we won't ask your husband about your driving habits, because that could just cause too much havoc.
She's an excellent driver.
Oh, there you go. Somebody knows where his bread's buttered. Go ahead, John.
When Daniel came to the United States to live about, I guess it's like 5 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago, he was able to get insurance, but they termed him a new driver, because he had no record that they knew.
Right.
And so his rate was ridiculous. It was, I think he paid like $2,000 or $3,000 a quarter.
Oh, what?
For his insurance for the first couple of years. Maybe if he's in the chat room, maybe he can correct me. But it was a lot. It was really a lot.
He's saying no, not that much, I'm presuming.
But
no.
There's a period of time for adult males or American male from the age of 16 to 25 where you really it really bleeds you, the cost of insurance.
Right.
And they throw all kinds of actuarial numbers and statistics at it, but it's still, man, we paid out the ass. And then all of a sudden you turn 25 and you're not any better of a driver, a little more seasoned, so I suppose it makes you somewhat better, yeah. But insurance drops by half easily.
Mm-hmm. He just said it was $1,000 for 6 months.
Right.
That's two grand a year.
Yep.
Yeah, that's similar to what a new driver would probably pay in Canada as well. A new young driver. We have the same rulings here. If you're experienced and you don't have a history with the insurance company, you have to pay more. And heaven forbid if you have an accident. I know some girls, some 21-year-old girls who had several accidents in their crappy old Hondas that were paying $10,000 a year for insurance. I'm not kidding. I knew a girl who wrote off about three cars because she was a horrible driver, and she was less than 25 years old, and she was paying $10,000 a year for insurance. So,
wow.
Ridiculous.
That's what I made when I was in my 20s.
All right, folks. We should bring the show to a close. I want to talk about track day, because this weekend was supposed to be my track day, and they canceled track day on me because they're paving the track. And what I'm talking about track day is there's this racetrack that we can go to. It's a 9-corner track. It's like a 1.25-mile track with 9 corners. And it's really great practice.
Didn't you talk about that previously a while back on your show? Sure. Is that the same track?
Same track. I go to this track quite often. I'm a member of this one particular racing group where you can sign up and go for a day of driving like a maniac around a racetrack. Anyway, so now my track day's been canceled because the track's being paved. So the day we had all set up is not available. Now it's a month or six weeks into the future. And I wanted to take my Porsche there to race it around the track. But now comes the dilemma of tires. Now I have to consider tires because they won't let you on the track if your tires aren't of a certain lifespan remaining on them. So if I was racing around the track this weekend with the tires that I currently have on the Porsche, I would have been fine. But now it's 6 weeks into the future, and in 6 weeks I don't know what the state of my tires are going to be in.
Faye,
have to actually buy new tires before I can get on the track.
Faye, just don't drive the car.
Don't drive the Porsche.
Oh,
it's just an option. I think he's fainted. Does anyone have any smelling salts?
I have some for $5,000.
So now I don't know what to do, folks. I guess you're right. If I don't drive the car, what am I going to do?
Hey, when you go to the track, are you going to put some weight in the front end?
Absolutely. I always have weight in the front end now. I have a carton of water and... And
is it
a bag of cement.
Okay.
You know, why don't you just go with sandbags?
Well, I don't know. I think water's not a bad idea, is it? Because you can use water in your radiator.
What if that container leaks?
Oh, my. No. Stop.
Rolling around in that trunk.
Are you implying that our dear friend Faye is being persnickety on this?
No.
I don't think so.
No. I would never suggest that.
No.
I'm just glad it's not like, what's the gas tank that he's always putting up there?
Propane. Yeah, propane.
Tank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not doing that. Thank you.
I'm pretty
That's
sure they
not
won't
an explosion risk at all. None.
They won't let me on the track with that propane tank, so I had to come up with something else.
good. That's good to hear. Oh my.
You all right, just get folks. Some lead and melt it in there.
Oh, lead. Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Like those pumping weight iron, pumping, what are those weights? Those big steel 25-pound dumbbell weights.
If I have a body I need to get rid of, would that help?
Sure.
Still using it.
Are you using it?
Oh, dear.
On that note.
No, we should probably close this out.
Sure. Laughing Buddha, can you tell us who's joined us here in the Pride 48 chat room?
Well, those that are left are Daniel from North Carolina. We have RJ, Scotty, the little Aussie battler. Toppy Smelly has joined us. Blue Bear is listening away from the keyboard. And we have Looney as well. So thanks for joining us in the chat room tonight.
Now, just a little programming note, people. This will be the last Pink Wheel Nuts Garage for a little while because I am taking off on vacation in about 8 days. I am gone and leaving Canada for an undisclosed location where there is surf and sun and sand and boys wearing grass skirts. So I am going to be gone for until the middle of May. So, please do not bother me. I will not be responding to tweets. I will not be sending emails. I will not be having any interactions with anybody on the internets while I'm gone over the next week and a half, starting on May the 4th or something like that. So, there won't be any Pink Wheel Nuts Garages for a couple of weeks. I will be listening to any of you who might be having, putting out podcasts and things. So I'll still be listening, but I am going to be going incommunicado, as they say. So
hope you have a really nice vacation, Faye.
Thank you very much. I really think that I deserve it.
Of course you do.
So let us say thank you to those who've joined us here tonight on the call, and we'll give you a chance to port out your contact details. Ranger John, where can we find you on the internets?
dfranger.blogspot.com.
All right. And Eric, how can we find you, sir?
Is somebody putting an emery board on a microphone?
It sounds like someone is sharpening up their saw or their knife to cut up a body nails. Part.
Okay, I have the emery board in my hand. But I was filing the corner of my desk, though. I'll stop right now.
You are a multifaceted individual, Ranger John.
I am found on Facebook and on the radio every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Central Time, KMRYradio.com.
Terrific. RT Cruiser, where can we find you, sir?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook
as
at RT Cruiser, and if you use that /RT Cruiser on Facebook, you'll find me as well.
All right, very good. Someone who snuck on the show tonight, Brenda Boo, how can we find you?
I'll be tweeting you on vacation and joking. Hello, it's BrendaBoo.com.
Hey, I have a quick question, Laughing Buddha, before you play us out here or take over the show.
Yes.
Now, it's coming up to berry season around here, at least in Canada, and I have a question for everybody. When you bring home your berries, maybe blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, perhaps, do you shake your berries when you rinse them? My presumption is that everyone will take their berries and put them into a colander or wash them in some way.
Well, some berries you're not supposed to rinse, like raspberries and blackberries.
Really?
Yeah.
What about pesticides?
I think you're just supposed to sort of take your chances. It ruins them.
Okay, it builds up your immunity. Eating pesticides.
Okay, well,
I don't know how we're going to answer this question. Do you shake your berries or not?
Very roughly. I like to shake my berries roughly.
How does Brenda handle your berries?
She handles them quite well. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, on that note, I am the Fey Driver. You can find me at www.pinkwheelnuts.com. Thanks for joining us here tonight on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage on here on Pride 48. And if you, the man who always has the last word, I'm all flustered from the berries comment. I'm sorry I asked the question. The man who always has the last word, it is the Laughing Buddha.
That's correct. I am the Laughing Buddha, and I like to gently shake my berries at thescooterdiaries.net. You can also follow me on Twitter as Laughing Buddha. That's LaFFingBuddha. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Pink Wheelnuts Garage.
Does anybody know how I can lose 8 pounds in 8 days?
Don't eat and drink lemon water. Work for Karen Carpenter.